Lesbian activist Ruth Berman is here to talk about the documentary Ruthie and Connie, Every Room in the House, and give us her spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Ruthie.
Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to this.
Tell us about Ruthie and Connie, Every Room in the House.
Okay, that is a documentary about my late beloved Connie Kurtz. We worked together over 50 years and married 44. And she passed away. But prior to that, a very dear friend of mine wanted to do a documentary about my life. He was from California, came to Brooklyn at the time, and he videoed me in different places. I knew him since he was 9 years old, the brother of my best friend. And he came home with the video in California, had a fire, destroyed it, and said to himself, you know, it's meant to be able to do the Ruthie and Connie story. Originally, it was called Ruthie and Connie, A Love Story. But the smart director said, no, Ruthie and Connie, Every Room in the House, because it says what our relationships are. They are in every room in the house. And so it took 4 years because a lot of money for documentaries. And it came out in the 1980s, hit every film festival, LGBT film festival, Jewish film festivals, and we won numerous awards for the documentary, from the People Award to the Best of Whatever it was. And what preceded that was that Connie and I were called to speak all over. By all over, I mean not only LGBT communities, churches, synagogues, men's groups, women's groups, name it. We were there to tell our story, which tells the story of many, many millions of us and how we came out, how we lived our lives. And the big pull for this particular documentary is that when Connie and I came together, she did not have a health plan. Not where she worked. So I, in my research, found a health plan with the Workman's Circle. It's a Jewish organization, but it was very limited. So I got upset. I said, why shouldn't we have a health plan? We're together. We share our monies. We love each other beyond dearly. Our families are accepting to a point. And why shouldn't I be able to put Connie, I was a guidance counselor at the time at Sheepshead Bay High School, Connie, on my health plan. So I went to the payroll clerk. I said, give me an application. I want to put Connie on my health plan. She said, you're not going to get it. I said, I'm going to try anyway. Well, this shows that there is spirit in the world, because the day that I received the application back writing that it's verboten, you're not married, Lambda Legal Defense called me and asked if we would be in a lawsuit through the New York City Teachers LGBT Association to sue the New York City Board of Education for domestic partnership so that Connie could be on my health plan. Well, the exact same time we said yes, and the ball began to roll with this lawsuit. So this lawsuit was won in the late 80s. For all domestic partners who worked for New York City. So that was a big deal, got on the Donahue show, et cetera, et cetera. And so there was a hook for the film, Ruthie and Connie, Every Room in the House. And it's really a wonderful story. The person at HBO really thought it would receive an Academy Award nomination. I think it's a little too late for that, but it's not too late for people to see it, to learn something, to appreciate who we are, and I don't mean just Ruthie and Connie, but who we are as an LGBT community, because our community are doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, hairdressers, beauticians, etc., etc. We are everywhere. And if we would take just an hour off from work, we probably could close the country. We won't do it, but we want to be recognized as full citizens here and get our full rights.
What do you hope to accomplish with your work?
Well, I don't call it work. It's love. It's love because I have found, because of the film, an extraordinary community, as I mentioned earlier. And so there are two things I want to accomplish. One is the passing of the bill that started in 2017, and every year they pick it up again, 2019, in Congress. It is called the Ruthie and Connie LGBT Elders Law. And what it would do would bring in the elders law into the elders law that's already there since 1965. You think we deserve it? I do. In the year 2030, there will be over 6 million LGBT elders. And I recognize in traveling around the country, et cetera, and getting emails and Facebook and stuff of that nature, how many of 60 and above elders are either alone, not well, don't have money to be able to help themselves in a healthy way. But the big issue is, because there is community, the big issue is how they are treated by doctors, often healthcare workers, hospitals. I could tell you really disgusting stories where if a health aide or a nurse finds out that they are gay or lesbian that they're treating, they may not change the bed, the diaper, give the right medicine, and there are many, many stories that we have not brought out. So I would like to see this bill passed. I would like to see whoever hears this to get in touch with their representative to join the passing of this bill, to get in touch with their Senate, to get the co-bill and get it passed. It's time already. And what would it do? Well, what would happen is that the Administration on Aging, the Assistant Secretary, would organize a center. The center would have information for LGBT elders who are low income, et cetera, who need help and whatever. And this center would address the physical, mental disabilities and health disparities concerning LGBT people, provide long-term care, including in-home and community-based care, provide informal care, and also keep money from those businesses, organizations, et cetera, that don't treat LGBT elders in a positive way, in a caring way. It's so simple. All the laws just need to be put in the letters LGBT. The Ruthie and Connie LGBT Americans Act of 2019 was named to honor us, but that's not enough. It needs to pass so that we are provided the care that we deserve because we are full citizens here in the United States of America.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration, especially heading into the 2020 election?
I think that what I would like to see, if we Googled LGBT organizations in the United States of America, there would be hundreds of them. If these organizations would have a caucus, come together, and decide what we wanted, we would be able to put it out, also put out the numbers that we are, as I mentioned earlier, that we could close this country if we decided not to work a few hours. And hopefully they will come together and make sure that we vote, that the vote gets counted, that if it's necessary, we do absentee ballots, that we participate in this election 1,000%, because our lives depend upon it.
With LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids?
Before we get to that, what I hear when I'm out speaking or I'm in a social situation and there are non-gay people, they tell me, you got everything already. No, we don't have everything, and that everything is protection, that every school has a GLSEN, that every teacher gets a little consciousness raising about what it means to be an LGBT person in their classroom. That's part of it. Now, what I would tell the children, the teens particularly, take a self-defense course. I'm very serious about that. Feel that inner strength in yourself. Doesn't mean you answer back, you walk away. Get help that you need, report them, whatever it may be. But in some way, protect yourself. another way, and this is a difficult way. Come out to your parents. Come out to your religious leader. Get a mentor who cares about who you are, whether it's in the school system or in the community center that you belong to, LGBT. Go to the LGBT community. Don't be alone. I don't mean alone in the streets. That's part of it. I'm talking about alone in the community that you develop yourself. Good friends, straight, LGBT, doesn't matter. But get a support system. Very, very important. And it doesn't hurt to know that you could do a little karate chop and keep them quiet.
How can people get information about Ruthie and Connie, Every Room in the House?
Google Ruthie and Connie. Google Ruthie Berman, Google Connie Kurtz, Google Ruthie and Connie, Every Room in the House. Google Ruthie and Connie, go on YouTube. It's there. It's all there. There is an updated film now on Netflix and Amazon Prime and Stars. The updated is more about our wedding, our thoughts for today prior to Connie's passing.
What other projects have you been involved in?
One of the big projects is selling Connie's art. Connie was an artist. I have wonderful, beautiful pieces of art. There is a website, conniesart.com. I'm also involved in the Democratic Club where I live. I'm also involved with the Ruthie Gordon LGBT Democratic Club. I'm involved with SAGE, Services and Advocacy for LGBT Elders. I'm involved in Keshet, which is a Jewish organization that assists teens in the Jewish community to be accepted. I'm involved in a wonderful organization called BLAST, Bi, Lesbian, and Straight Women Together. Not necessarily political, but we come together. We have wonderful meetings, movies, entertainment. I'm very involved with my community. Are you ready for my kindergarten story? Why I'm speaking to you, there's a reason at this moment. And the reason is my kindergarten. I was an only child. I couldn't wait to go to kindergarten. I went to early session. My Bubby, grandmother and Jewish, who did not know any English, took me to school. I had to cross a big, big street. Whatever it is, the Boulevard Street where you live, that's the street I had to cross a few others to get. She was going to wait for me when school was over. She would take me. I would have lunch. She made me a wonderful lunch, etc. I go to kindergarten. It's the end of the kindergarten. I had a wonderful couple of hours, and I drew a picture. I was taking it home to Mama, my mother. And next to me was Arthur. And the teacher is doing the blinds, closing the blinds, and her back is to the class. Arthur takes my picture and tears it. Well, what is a five-year-old going to do? I took his picture, I tore it. The teacher saw me, and I said, look at my picture, he tore my picture. She said, okay, both of you will stay in, first day of school. So when she lined up the class, we knew what stay in was. My Bubby, who speaks no English, is waiting down four flights to take me across this big street and for a wonderful lunch. Okay. Teacher takes the sandwich out, goes to the piano, sits on the stool, turns around, eats, has a little sandwich, and a couple of minutes later turns around and says, Arthur, you may go. That was the moment I knew what justice meant. Arthur, who did it to me, may go. Okay, I wait till she takes the sandwich again and turns around, has her back to me, and I run home. There is no Bubby waiting. I run across the street. I run across the other three streets. I go to my mother and I say, I'm not going back. And I'm crying hysterical. She says, you'll go back. I'll stand outside. Now, my mother was physically handicapped, severely. To do the four flights was not easy. So she stood outside. The third day, the teacher said, you can't sit outside. You cannot. It's disturbing the rest of the class. It's not fair. That my mother would stay outside till I calmed down. Anyway, she took me out. My mother says, I'm taking her out. I'll put her in first grade. Teacher says she will never adjust to school. Well, as an aside, I have 3 degrees. I adjusted pretty good. But justice became my flag. And I used it as a teacher of health and physical education, as an administrator of starting a new health and physical education program, totally co-educational before Title IX, was also a guidance counselor and saved many kids who were had learning disabilities in high school and nobody knew. I also did a lot of other things related to justice. So when I met Connie, and coming out was a nightmare for me, a nightmare. Separating from a marriage and children, etc., was a nightmare. Coming out was a nightmare. Thank God for my wonderful Connie, who shared, you're not respecting the relationship unless you come out. So I came out and then did a lawsuit and just followed up with that. That's my life. I'll be 86 March 30th. You can send me a card. It's okay. No gifts necessary, but make a donation to an LGBT organization.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through difficult times?
I do have a sentence that gets me through difficult times, and that is, the answer is loving. We have to be kind to each other. We have to care about each other. We have to say hello to a neighbor who looks like she's got the saddest day coming forward. And just say hi. Good morning. How are you? We have to begin to talk to each other. And it doesn't have to be political. It could be just be. The answer is loving.